Hello and welcome back to the show. If you're new here, I'm Sheen, your host, and this is the final episode of our Building Wealth for Women series brought to you by Pepperstone. Honestly, throughout this series, we've learned so much. We've learned about the economic state of the world currently, where it's going, what is happening with gold, how to invest in crypto, real estate, shares, trading. We've discovered it all. We've also talked about how to live a purposeful life while building wealth. But today, I want to wrap up the series by talking a little bit more about money mindsets, and especially all the unlearning that needs to happen, especially with women, when it comes to building wealth, which brings me to our powerhouse guest of today, Afnan Khalifa. I'm super excited to welcome Afnan on here because she is a branding expert. She has done so much to help women around the world when it comes to financial independence, but also she used to be a waitress in Canada, and now she has built an empire worth multi-million dollars. So please join me in welcoming Afnan. Hi, Afnan.
I'm so honored to be here.
I'm super excited for this chat.
Thank you.
I feel like I've seen so much of your content online and we've talked online, but today I can finally learn from you in person.
I get to experience us together in one room, so I'm excited.
I know this will be a great chat, but to start with, why don't you give our audience a little bit of context about your career so far?
So what I love mostly about, you know, my career, my story is it's so relatable. It's nothing like crazy that I've faced, crazy traumas. It was just like the usual, regular struggles that women go through. Mm-hmm. So I was born in Canada, but I was raised 18 years in Saudi Arabia. I'm originally Palestinian. So I was telling you, I had like cultural shock living 18 years in Saudi and then moving to Canada when I was 18. In Saudi, you know, women are taught to, well, in Middle East in general, mm-hmm. women are taught to not be seen, be invisible, obey, you know, don't be obedient. Well, don't be like a rebel, be obedient. Yeah. And what's funny is, you know, the culture I was raised in taught me to be obedient, but the parts of me that rebelled, that's the ones that made me successful, free, and powerful. And this is what we don't talk about. It's like, as a woman, don't be rebellious. But we have to be rebellious in some things while still, of course, never disrespecting our culture or our families or where we come from. But challenge, you know, the norms that we're just supposed to live a certain way. When are we really? Mm. Or is it just people and the culture are telling us? What is God telling us? Mm-hmm. Because when I was raised, 18 years, I have two brothers and one sister, and she's younger than me, my sister. So my mom and dad would always be like, well, you're just a girl. Your brother can do things, but you're just a girl. You can't do it. And it's like, well, in religion, we're the things that you're talking about, that's not true because mm-hmm. we both can do certain things and not do certain things. Mm-hmm. And I always just grew up like questioning, like, why can't I have the power? Why can't I make my own money? Why can't I be on social media? Why can't I have opinions? Why can't I just, you know, do all the things that I wanted to do? So I felt like in a cage for 18 years. And then I went to Canada. I'm like, finally, like, I'm just going to run away. And then I get there, but you don't realize we're still chained with all the beliefs that we were raised with.
Of course.
All the guilt, the parents' expectations, the culture that we were raised with. So even when I was in Canada, I still had that holding me back in so many areas in my life where I always felt like I'm too much, I'm too loud. And then it's funny, you know, I love God. He, like, just God does truly magic in my life. And when I was in Canada, when I was, you know, from age 1 to 18, I was always that girl that felt like I need to be validated. Mm. I need people around me. Mm-hmm. If I'm alone, I'm sad. I'm like, I need company. I could not be on my own because to me, that just felt like I have no power. I am weak. I am invisible. So I always attached my worth to either friends, family, or just having someone with me. Mm-hmm. So what does God do? He's like, oh, honey, let's teach you a quick lesson when you're young. God decides that I'm going to move to a whole new country with total different culture, mm-hmm. right? Where I don't really speak the language well. He also decided that I'm not going to meet anybody that I feel so connected with. So I'm not going to feel comfortable. 7 years in Canada and I have not met one like friend or person that I'm like, oh my God, I feel so comfortable. Like I have you. It was always like, you're a good person, but I always felt different. I always felt like I don't belong in places. Like I'm so different. So I had to isolate myself and I was alone in so many times in my life, whether working, hustling. And on top of that, he said, on top of that, we're going to make sure you're broke when you're in Canada, where your dad is not sending you money, although you've never worked a job in your life because you're in Saudi, right? And women don't work. Yeah. But we're going to make sure you go there. And now you're going to have to beg for jobs, apply your resume to like 20, 30, 50 locations and all rejecting you because you're going to understand that rejection is just God's protection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay because he's going to align you. I wanted to work in retail so bad because everyone was working in retail, right? He's like, no, that's not your superpower. So we're not going to get you in retail. We need you to be a waitress. And now people might be like, well, a waitress, why does God want you to be a waitress? Well, we can only connect the dots looking backward, not forward. Because back then I'm like, why is every place rejecting me? But now looking at it, that was the biggest blessing in my life to work in so many restaurants because that teaches you communication. That teaches you to read the room. That teaches you how to, before you go to a table, you want to see, is it a girl and a guy and you need to only talk to the girl? Or is the girl like in La La Land and you talk to the guy? Is it a bachelor party with all men and you need to like be professional but still entertain and make sure they're having a good time? Is it a family where you need to? So all these communication skills that I had learned in, you know, 2-3 years while serving is what made me millions of dollars today.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go through that. I had to talk to so many people and while being isolated, while being alone, while feeling so lonely, like, what's the point? I'm just working, I'm just grinding, and I'm barely making any money working 2-3 jobs. But that just at a young age, and I'm grateful that all the struggle happened at a young age is a good thing. Sometimes we look at it, it's like, oh my God, my childhood was so hard. My teenage years was so hard. I would rather that be hard and learn all the lessons. Like, God, okay, let's get the lessons out of the way. Let's get the lessons out of the way. I'm ready for the blessing.
Yeah.
Let's go. Give it to me all in 1 year. So when I have a full, like, intense, a lot of lessons in 1 year, I'm like, okay, God, we've learned enough.
What's the blessing?
What's the blessing? I'm waiting for it, right? And of course, there's always a blessing. But that all made me, you know, the Afnan that you see today, where I don't need someone else to validate me to feel validated.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I bring to the table. I know what power I hold. I know I can touch any woman and make sure she is a better version of herself financially, emotionally, physically, by just being around that woman or even another man, for example. You know, my friends always, you know, I love my friends because I've met a lot of, you know, girls here in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they came here, they were making, you know, good money, okay money. But then they're around me and I'm just talking all these crazy big numbers. Mm-hmm. Because in business, I'm around a lot of men.
Right.
That they're like, yeah, I made $1 million, you know, in stocks today. I'm like, $1 million in 1 day? So I'm like, okay, well, maybe making $100,000 in 1 day is not that hard because you're talking about $1 million. So my small little goals are not as crazy as yours.
Right.
And I love channeling the same delulu, the delusion that we have into other women. Like, yes, of course you can make $20,000 a month, $30,000 a month, $100,000 a month, $500,000. Because I've seen the men do it. And men, although they're hardworking people, they can't multitask.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the attraction. They don't know how to attract. They just force things.
Mm-hmm.
We can have things way easier by the presence, by attracting, by aligning without the grind. Without the grind. So past 7 years, I just, you know, it's cool to make a lot of money, but it's cooler to say I've helped so many women go from broke to like, wow, I really have the power to make any money I want because mm-hmm. anything is learnable. It's just a skill.
I agree. And I think you've touched on so many important things here.
ADHD.
Oh, don't worry. Me too. Me too. This conversation is going to go all the way. Let's just be ready for that. Strap in. But I do think it's really impressive, right? What you've done coming from, especially I think us women, you have being a woman, you have being a woman of color, you have the religion, you have the culture. All of this are different kind of shackles that we need to figure out ourselves. What part of it do you want to take with you and what part of it you want to leave behind?
Yeah.
But in your experience on this like wonderful journey you've had so far, what has been the biggest unlearning that you had to do?
Well, when it comes to money, it's like if money did not come from, you know, my parents, my past, it can come from me for my future. Like I can be, this is not just a man thing. It's also a woman thing. Like I can change the trajectory of our family and our future family for the rest of our lives. It just takes one person that is crazy enough to believe that you can achieve everything that you want to achieve. And if you believe it, and if you're crazy enough to just keep believing and keep working and stack as many successful actions, because if you stack as many successful actions, the success is going to come. It's going to be inevitable. It's impossible for you to not do the right things and not get results. But when we look at people that are successful, we're like, oh my God, she's such a good speaker. I can't be like her. I have a video on my Instagram that I was presenting in front of my university for like a project, and I could not look people in the eye. I would look on the ground. I was like shaking. So no, I was not a good speaker. I did not have the right mindset. I was a victim. Just all the negative things that we all feel, I felt them. But just know that you can change all of that. You just need to believe that you can be something else, which what helped me a lot is I have an alter ego.
Okay.
Do you have an alter ego
Beyonce
too?
Girl.
I have an alter ego.
Okay, what's her name?
It's the Afnan Khalifa, which is my Instagram handle.
Oh my God.
So Afnan Khalifa, regular Afnan,
mm-hmm.
sometimes is scared. Sometimes she's like, well, God, am I good enough to help someone else or to do this? Am I big enough? Before I walk on stages, I'm like, why do all those people want to listen to me?
Mm.
Like, what? But then I'm like, no. The Afnan Khalifa knows that she's helped and served so many people. And it's never about her. It's about the message that's going to impact someone else. The Afnan Khalifa, she walks in. She puts on a whole mask. She's confident. She knows what she brings to the table. She's bold. She's powerful. She takes up space. Not because she's loud, but because her presence, people are going to feel it.
Mm.
Afnan at home, she's just like, I just want to be loved and I just want to be cared for and I just want to have people around me that, you know, accept me for who I am, because growing up, I was not accepted for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was only accepted for the version that my parents thought I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates like, wait, am I not that good enough for you to not, you know, love me for just who I am with my flaws and everything? So yeah, just unlearn. There's so much that you can unlearn. But the biggest thing is like anyone that is successful, they're not that special. And the more you get to know them, you're like, you're really not that special. You're just another human that have done this for just longer, more reps, just like you're at the gym, right? The more reps you have, the more the muscle is going to grow. And this is why you're good at it. This is why you're a good speaker. This is why you can touch people. This is why you have all these qualities. Only because you've done it longer enough for more times. That's it.
I agree. I think especially what you said when it comes to meeting more and more people who are successful. And then you realize that there is an element of luck for sure. There's an element of being gifted, but they've just done the work.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to social media, you realize how many people just give up. Even with podcasts, apparently if you do just like 10 episodes, you are in the top 1% in the world.
So people don't even do 10 episodes.
No, they don't. They don't even keep up for 10 episodes. And I think that's the main thing. Because a lot of people, whenever you talk about things like, you know, build your wealth or build your confidence. And for example, earlier you just said you can make $100,000 a day. A lot of people will see that with a lot of cynicism. And they'll be like, oh, that's, she's just saying that. It's really hard because people are not ready to see that. And I'm sure because you work one-on-one and stuff with people, you must get this pushback a lot, right? Where people just don't believe that these things are possible. How do you address that?
Well, I tell them, first of all, I put myself in their shoes. When I started, yes, of course, I'm like 100,000 a month. What do you do with that? And then you make it and you're like, wait, this is not enough money. I need more. I need more because things are getting more expensive. But I always give goals depending on where someone is. Mm-hmm. If you're making only $2,000 a month, if I tell you 100,000, you're like, what are you talking about? You just sound crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone is making 2,000, okay, well, let's help you. Like, I'm talking to their level of conscious about money.
Right.
Let's help you make 5,000. Let's get there. Let's double whatever you're making. Mm-hmm. And then you get there. So that builds up because now you're achieving. And every time you achieve, whether it's small or big, mm-hmm. you start adding, you know, blocks of confidence to like on the stack where you're like, wait, I did that. Mm. I did that. Okay. And then you start thinking bigger. Okay, if I did 5,000, I can do maybe 10,000. And then you give them the next step. Mm-hmm. And I just honestly love reverse engineering everything. I was so good with math when I was in high school. Like I was an A+ student.
Of course.
Biology, geography, C, D, failing. But anything like problem solving, I'm like, yes, let's solve the problem. Because I love solving problems. And I think it helps me a lot with business. Because any problem is like… Course. Give it to me. Let's
There's
go.
A new one every day in business,
there,
right?
Every hour, I'm like, give it to me. I'll take it. But I like reverse engineering things like, okay, well, what can we do to get you to $5,000 a month? What can we do to get you to $10,000? Okay, well, we can do X, Y, Z. So this will make you this much money a day and then this. And then if we combine them, boom, boom, that's $10,000 a month. And they're like, oh, okay, that does not sound so… As long as you're reverse engineering on like… What do we need to do to actually get there? Just give them the steps. And then they get there. And then slowly they start believing like, wow, you're right. 50,000 a month is not a lot. 100,000 a lot. So one of my girls, she moved here from Iraq. She's such a smart woman. And she was already successful in the beauty industry. And then she would hear me all the time like, I cannot. Like, we need… Like, this person is making like 500K a month. We need to do that. And she's like, are we talking about… Like pesos, dirham, or dollars?
Yeah, what currency?
What Iraqi, what is it? Dinar? Like, what are we talking about? I'm like, no, dollars. And as the longer you are around people that talk big and are achieving big, you start becoming like brainwashed. So I tell people, I brainwash my girls into believing like, yeah, you can make any number. So in the beginning, it's like, okay, Afnan, it's cool what you're making. Just help me make an extra 5,000, 10,000. And then we get there and you're like, okay. And then a couple months later, boom, she made $50,000 a month. And it's like, wow, how did I make that? Now she's like, okay, well, let's make the next step. So I love brainwashing women into believing like, number one, you can achieve anything that you want. Number two, we're not leaving the money for the men. It's so much fun doing business. It's… Especially the right business, right? Something that aligns with you. It's powerful. You feel like I am progressing every single day. And I don't only look at my goals. I look at the day-to-day journey. Like we laugh, me and my friends, over like, oh my God, can you imagine? 2 years ago, we were literally struggling with this thing. And now it's the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. But we don't think of only the good moments. We always look back at the hard moments that we overcame. Mm. So I love the hard moments. I love the lessons. I love all the spice that, you know, my life has. Because it's like, it's a movie. Mm. It's a movie and I love the ups and the downs. Because it's spicy. It's not a boring life. It's a very spicy life.
I love that. But, you know, can you, especially for the audience, can you give us an example of a woman that you helped? You know, like, even if it's fictional, but what do they do and what do you take them from to where?
Quick break for a word from today's sponsor. Are you looking to turn global trends into trading opportunities? Meet Pepperstone, where top-tier trading tech meets competitive pricing. Trade forex, commodities, shares, and indices with ultra-low spreads starting from zero on a Razor account. Fast execution? Check. 24/5 support? Check. Plus, you can trade on MetaTrader, CTrader, TradingView, and more. And don't worry, they're fully regulated by top financial authorities worldwide. So why wait? Trade smarter with Pepperstone today. There's a link in my bio for you to check it out. And a huge shout out to Pepperstone for supporting Building Wealth for Women through this podcast. Thank you.
This is so cheesy, but the first thing is working on the mindset. Because again, if you don't believe that you can get there, it's not going to happen. You have to literally, like, I know it's a TikTok and Instagram trend that the Delulu is a Salulu, yeah. But I'm telling y'all, you have to be delusional about your goals, because we're so delusional about everything else. We're delusional about, oh, I'm not good enough. What are you? Oh, I'm not good looking enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. Because that's delusion. That's not facts. So why can't we be delusional about the positive things? So of course, fixing that foundation first.
Right.
You know, the building brick. And then, you know, depending what industry they're in. It's like…
So can you help any industry?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Let's say you're doing podcasts.
Yes.
Well, let's find 5 more ways that we can capitalize and make money as someone who does podcasts.
Right.
So is it maybe, you know, we're going to put it on Spotify, YouTube, boom, that's multiple sources of income. Mm-hmm. Is it we're going to charge some guests that want visibility to be on the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Is it maybe… starting a movement and a community of women that want to do podcasts.
Right.
Or maybe get specific insights that you're teaching from all the guests that you've hosted. Mm-hmm. Are we going to open our own podcast studio?
Yeah.
Are we going to have an
products.
Product? Mm. There's so many that you can do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to do… Like people talk about multiple sources of income as in… Yeah, let me tap it into 10 different industries and have 10…
10 businesses running.
10 businesses.
Yeah.
First of all, I can already tell that it's… not, none of them are big enough. Because the more you understand how much a successful business takes energy… mentally and maybe not physically because you can hire people… but mental capacity… you're going to realize you cannot do multiple business and run them successfully to the highest level… all at the same time. Now you can make money and then put money in other things and invest it. Sure. But I believe in multiple sources of income from one thing that we've already mastered. Mm-hmm. Instead of just 10 different industries.
Right.
So yeah, any industry. Money is everywhere. Money is literally everywhere. It's the easiest thing. The easiest thing to do is to make money. The hardest thing to do is to get married, which… which…
Yes.
People do it easily. So yeah. How are we… Like, let's think about it. Marriage is way harder than a business. A business, you just run it. It's facts. It's less emotions. Marriage, you're literally locking yourself with a person for the rest of your lives. And you guys got to be there when you wake up, when you go to sleep. You better align. You better like each other. You better enjoy every meal together. Mm-hmm. And if it fails, it brings a lot of heaviness to so many people, the men, the women, the children, that's the families that's involved. So yeah, if people can get married easily, we can run businesses easily.
I love that. But you're almost like a life coach at this point, isn't it? So you help people think about their businesses and then do you walk them through the strategies of how to make money basically through these different
avenues? So many ways, 100%.
Okay. But for you, when was the moment where the switch happened when you… the first time you made a big amount of money and how much was it and how did it feel?
Well, I've had multiple $100,000 days. Mm. And then you're
the first one.
The first one, how did it feel?
Yeah.
First of all, you get excited for 10 minutes and then you're like, okay. And then like
next,
this is
what's next.
But this is all the achievements, right? It's like, this is why I tell people don't get attached too much to the goal, because you're like… even like buying nice things. Like yeah. You buy your dream car. It's like, it's nice for like 3 business days. And it's like, it's just another car. Your house. It's just like, you get used to it. I was excited. I was very proud of, you know, everything that God has put me through. Because without the lessons, I wouldn't have standards. I wouldn't have the vision. I wouldn't have my boundaries. I wouldn't have become the Afnan that it is today. The only difference between me and so many people is I fail every single day in so many areas in my life. Relationship-wise, I'm failing, but I'm learning how to become a better woman, how to become a better partner to my future partner. In business, I'm failing. Like, how? Why? I'm, you know, sometimes I speak on stage and I'm like, well, that was not so good. So next time we're going to do X, Y, Z. We're going to prepare more. You meet people, businesses. But yeah, it feels great when you achieve something. You see my ADHD? You feel great when you achieve something. And then it's always what's next. Mm. So I just had to learn to be grateful for the process and enjoy the process, because then you're just going to be empty and shallow.
That's true. And you know why they say that you should not be attached to the outcome, because the outcome might look different to what you wanted.
Maybe God wants a whole different plan for you. Mm. Just focus on the input.
And what was the first time? So you were in Canada and you were doing all these odd jobs, little broke of Nana at the time.
Very broke up.
So what then took you out of that life? What was the first business you did?
I just want to touch base on little broke Afnan.
Yeah.
But she never felt like a victim.
Exactly.
She always felt like, okay, we're a server now. We're going to be the best server ever. And we're going to learn so much. And we're going to enjoy so many moments. So I would make everything fun and enjoyable. I'm never suffering. Mm. And I know it's only a season, because I know there is another season that's going to be more powerful. And God is going to put me there. But right now, there is lessons that we have to learn. And once we learn it, then the blessing is going to come. So I'm never like, oh my God, why I'm here? It's good. We're here.
I like that.
You know?
Let's not think about why is this happening to me, but
I'm enjoying
it. This is temporary. Yes. We'll move on.
Yes. Bad relationship, bad business, bad friends, all of that. It's like perfect. Mm. Now I know my blessing is closer because I've went through that. But, you know, I remember I was working two jobs. I was a server at a restaurant and then I was a manager at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And ironically, I was making more as a server than a manager. So make it make sense. But in Canada, of course, we have tips.
Yeah.
So you make a lot from that. Mm. And I was...
Of course.
A character. I'm entertaining the stable. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to make sure you guys have the best meal of your life. And I take on like pride in like, yes, I'm going to be the best server you've ever experienced in your whole journey.
And how old were you then?
I did it 18, 19, 20.
Wow. Very young.
Yeah. Mm. 3 years. And then... 21, I was going to school at the same time, university. I had like 6 courses, 2 or 3 jobs. I didn't have a car, so I would commute an hour and a half going, an hour and a half coming back. I would literally sleep 4 hours. And me thinking I'm a superwoman, I would also go to the gym. It's like, let's be fit, at 4 a.m. too. So by the time I was 21, I was exhausted. I was like, how do people do this until they're 50, 60? I'm tired. Like, not just physically, but like emotionally. I had no friends. Family, I wouldn't even see them. We live in the same house, but I was not seeing them because I was literally always outside doing something. Mm. And I was also doing like on the side, like fashion. Because I'm like, maybe I want to be in fashion. Like, you know. By 21, I was just like, I'm tired. I'm ready. God, give me something that will make me a lot of money. Without having all this hustle and physical labor. I just did not appreciate the physical labor. Like, God, please, like, just show me another way. And then God always sends you signs. You just got to pay attention. I started seeing women making the same money that I was making as a server, but online. And that was before COVID. So it was not like very common to make money online. Mm. And that woman was similar age as me. And I'm like, do you make that online from investing in the financial markets and doing sales? And then I looked at her. I'm like, you're this little cute, you know, and she's Asian. I'm like, you're so cute. Like, if you can do it, I can for sure do it. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, you look so innocent, so, you know, lovely. And she was younger than me. But I'm like, yeah, for sure I can do it. And that's when I was like, I saw what she did and I knew how much louder, bolder I am. Mm. And I'm like, we can do that. Mm-hmm. And I just followed someone else's steps. People always try, like, let me reinvent the whole wheel. Right. And like, why are we making it so hard? Let me follow someone exactly that did it. Get there. Have the same results. Learn from them. Be close to them. And then once you achieve that, you can expand beyond or go learn from someone else. And that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. I became a shadow. Like, yeah, let's hang around while, you know, I bought into it. This is why I love programs, mentorships, masterminds, events. I'm the biggest fan of all of this because it's just shortcut to success. Mm. You can spend watching YouTube, taking it the longer route on like you figuring out a whole business on your own, or you can just learn directly from someone that did it by paying the price. And I would rather pay the price because time is more expensive than money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it happened. And, you know, one thing leads to another. It's like, okay, I just wanted to make $3,000 a month. If I make $3,000, I'm good. I'm making the same money that I make at my job, but from the comfort of my home.
Right.
And then you get there and then there's a new level every single after that time. Yeah.
Wow. And the reason I ask this is, let's say if we were to take you back to that time where you had to make that decision, and would you still make the same decisions you did?
Or
would 100%. You, now that you know everything that you know?
I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah?
Because I think God is the best planners, and He planned my life and all our lives exactly in a way for a reason.
Mm.
Everything that I've been through in my childhood, God planned it because look how I turned out. I had to learn some lessons. I had to experience some feelings, some thoughts when I was younger, feeling like I don't belong to places. I'm so different. I don't align with so many people. It's like I would be around so many people, but I would feel so lonely because no one gets me, like really gets me. And then I would have to match their energy or match their vibe. But that's not real like happiness when you're just not being yourself.
Mm.
So yeah, I think God is the best planners. And I trust God so much because He never takes anything away from you. He just takes things from you to give you better and replace it always with something better.
That's so true.
Always.
Always.
It's never a downgrade. It's always an upgrade in every area.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that whenever you ask God for something, you get three answers. Either you get yes, not now, or I have something better for you.
Yes.
And I think that's such a beautiful way of looking at life. So you never miss anything that you don't have or you don't get.
It wasn't mine.
But what advice would you give to someone who, let's say, is trying to make their first, let's say they have a job, they're already working on something, they're trying to make a first $1,000 extra on the side.
Online.
Yeah.
Find your favorite girl on social media that does an online business and learn from her. And even if that business was not the business that you are going to be in, but you're going to learn so much and your mind is going to open to possibilities. You're going to see other women. Whatever program she has, event she has, go to it. But you're not going to figure out a new level in the same environment that you're in.
Mm.
That environment is the same friends, family, job. That's an environment that you're in. The faster you get out of your environment that you're in, the faster you're going to have your mind open to new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't know what you don't know. But there's so many things that we don't know. And the faster you know them, the faster you're going to be like, oh, wow, okay. Making money is not hard. It's the easiest thing.
Talking about things we don't know, I feel like everybody's saying that crypto is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
God forgive them for they do not know what they do not know. I made my first million from crypto.
Okay.
It can be gambling. It can be a scam.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just like listening to anyone on social media telling you, oh, just invest in this coin, because TikTok was very big with that. And it's like, no, like get educated. Know why we're investing in this. In investing in general, whether it's stocks, crypto, or the foreign currency exchange, there's always a risk,
mm-hmm.
right? There's always a risk. You need to have knowledge. You need to have risk management as well. Like, I mean, if you put all your money and then things go wrong, because things can go wrong, that's the name of the game. But you can also make a lot of money if luck is by your side and if you learn the true fundamentals of investing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think honestly, most of it comes down to people not being willing to learn.
Yeah.
And they're just thinking, this is foreign. I don't know it. Just put it away.
It's not for me. But here's the thing. We just think that we forget that everything that we know today, we've learned it. We didn't know how to walk. We learned how to walk. We didn't know how to drive a car. We learned. I didn't know how to do my job as a waitress and talk to people properly. I had to learn that. So why, when we get to a certain age, which is usually mid-20s, 30s, you're like, I can't learn that. That's not for me. No, I can literally learn anything. We're humans. We're created by God to be, we're not animals. We're even animals can learn, but us, we have all the brain cells. Don't get me into biology because I'm not going to name everything that we need to name. But God created us in a way that we can learn anything. Mm. So you're the one limiting yourself by your beliefs that, oh, this is not me as a person. Oh, I don't know this. I don't know is the biggest lie we tell ourselves.
How long did it take you to understand the world of crypto?
Still a journey. Trump coming in, destroying everything, and then recession, this. It's definitely a learning journey. It always helps to be around people that are investing into crypto as well, because investing in the financial markets can be very lonely in all the financial markets. And sometimes you're like doubting yourself, questioning what's happening, because it's the unknown. There's no for sure. If there is for sure, everyone would be rich and happy from investing and trading. But when you surround yourself by people that are doing it as well, and everyone's doing research, as long as you win more times than you lose, you should be good.
It's the long game, right?
Yeah.
And if I were to take you back again before you came onto your new Afnan Khalifa.
The alter ego.
And if we were to give you, let's say, $1,000 at the time where you didn't have extra money, where would you have invested that money? In yourself? In
100%.
Yeah?
100%. I mean, $1,000 into anything, what is it going to turn to? It's not going to change my life. But if I invest in me, if I learn branding, how to build a personal brand, sales, I think every woman should learn how to create an online brand, whether it's with your face or not with your face, and learn how to sell. These two, if you learn it, you'll be successful. You'll never be broke. Impossible. You can sell anything. I can sell anything. Give me anything. You want us to go on the street and sell this cup? We're going to go and we're going to make a lot of money selling this cup. You can really make so much money if you learn just these two skills. Branding will make it so much easier because sales will make you a lot of money, but you always have to sell to make money. So it doesn't give women that soft life that we aspire to have. Doesn't give as much freedom because it's one-on-one always. But then when you build a personal brand and you combine it with sales, game over. You'll never be broke again.
We were talking about this earlier, right? About how we really undervalue social capital, because nowadays we live in a digital world. So everyone is looking for people who have social presence, because you can bring a community together. You have influence, and I think that's why you're so right about building a personal brand. It's super important. But do you think we will reach a point where it will be too saturated if everyone is online?
I think it's already, you can look at it and people can say social media is saturated. Everyone wants to be an influencer. Everyone wants to look like they make it. But you can easily recognize the people that have substance. Are really teaching you something or making you feel something or challenging your thought process or the views that you have about life. And these are the people that are going to always stand out because they're going to dominate that niche that they're in, whatever the niche is, whether you're a hairstylist, makeup artist, podcaster, you know, about making money, whatever you have, clothing line, you can always be so different. But the biggest reason why most influencers are broke is they try to blend in and not stand out. Oh, let me see what others are doing. I'm going to do the same. You can do that, but then why would someone follow you instead of someone else?
Yeah.
Like there are strategies that you can follow that work on social media, but then who are you? That image that you're putting up on social media is not serving you. It's making you invisible.
You're right. And if you look at everybody who blows up randomly, right? Like we've seen a lot of them recently.
Yeah.
It's always because it's so different from anything else.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, social media is done and dusted now, but there's always something new that comes out. And then you're like, okay, you can innovate. You just never know what to do. You know, for me, what blew my mind, it was that boy who was doing the cucumber salad.
Do you remember that? Yes, and I tried it. Same. Great salad.
Same. Yes. So then we all started doing it. And it's something as simple as just making a salad.
Cucumber salad.
Yeah. Imagine. And then this blew up and it went everywhere.
But it was just like very unique and iconic. And we've never seen it. We've seen chefs, but we've never seen someone only making that style of quick salads.
Yes.
So
see, there's still so much room for us to do everything.
In every niche. Yeah.
Every niche. But now a more targeted question. I've actually seen you speak about this online and I loved it when you said, what was it? The rich trust their vision and doubt their fears, but the poor do the opposite.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, because my question here is, do you think anybody can make money or some people just doomed by their limiting beliefs?
I think anybody can make money for sure, but they are doomed by their beliefs. So until you change that and you start, I'm pretty sure you have fears.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure I have fears every single time I'm trying something new. And even at this level, like if you talk to me 2 weeks ago, I'm scared. I'm like, this is so new. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'm scared, but what am I going to do? Am I just going to submit to the fear or am I going to attack the fear, face the fear, challenge it, deal with it so it's not a fear anymore? Because it's going to remain a fear as long as I'm like, okay, I'm scared of it and I'm just sitting in the corner being scared by this little fear that I have. It's going to always be a fear until I take up the fear. Like, okay, let's go. Let's do it. The faster you can just truly like shut down your emotions and just start thinking just a little bit logical. Just a little bit. Like actually shut off your emotions. What I love to do is I like sitting in silence because that just makes things so much clearer. When you're sitting in the dark or taking a walk on the beach and just in silence, no phone, no notifications, no friends, no people, and the world is quiet, you start just thinking about things in your life and what do you actually want? And once you start thinking, forget what your family wants, what your friends want from you, what society, culture, what the world expectation, forget everything that you have today. What do you really want from your life? How do you want your life to look? And the longer you sit with yourself in the dark, thinking about that logically, the sooner you're going to be like, you know what? I don't want this. Like, I don't want this. I want this. And it's okay to change. It's okay to change your mind. My beliefs change all the time. My opinions change all the time. Like, maybe today I'm going to say something and then next year, we're going to have another podcast and I'm going to be like, you know what? I said this, but now I've experienced something and I don't believe it anymore. And it's okay. Mm. In business, in relationships, in friendships, it's okay to change your mind. You don't have to, you know, marry your beliefs for the rest of your life. You need to marry a person for the rest of your life, not your beliefs.
No, you're right. And I think we are always scared of, I can't make such statements because what if I change my mind tomorrow? But then it's good to change your mind. It means that you're growing. Receptive, you're growing, you're realizing your limitations.
Yeah.
For sure. But okay, you've talked about marriage now.
We're going there.
We're going there. So, you know, when it comes to money, we keep hearing the whole 50-50, I don't do coffee dates and all of that. Where do you sit on that situation?
I just feel like when you are, especially because of my brand, my personal brand, how I show up, I have never attracted any 50 because 50-50 men are so scared. They're like, she's going to eat me alive. And yes, I will eat you alive because I've never had that conversation with a man that wanted to like get to know each other. It's like, I feel like they're scared to ask for 50-50. Because if they say 50-50, I'll be like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I got it.
Yeah.
I'll pay for both of us. Yes, but you'll never see me again. But I'll pay. And then he'll learn a lesson forever to never ask a girl for 50-50. But this is what I mean by branding helps you position yourself with authority, with respect. Your values are on social media. The boundaries are on social media. So people, makes it easy to meet somebody when they already know where do you stand? What's your values? They're not trying to, switch your mind. Mm. Your mind is all over social media. They cannot switch nothing. So I've been blessed with, people in my life, whether it's friends, family, or relationships that only treat me with the highest standard because I can't, it's like, I'm just going to remove myself if the standard is low.
Do you know what you reminded me of? I think it's Nicki Minaj, right? Where they were like, would you take on a plane, would you take the window seat? And she was like, yeah. They were like, but not the IC. What if you need to use the bathroom? She was like, I don't take this kind of planes.
Hopefully we're going to get there soon. I don't get sick. No planes. Yeah, that part.
Right. So I think it's the same thing where you're like, well, this is just not my cup of tea. But when it comes to, obviously you're now someone who is, you know, making your own money. Good kind of money as well. When it comes to a relationship, would you then do 50-50 as part of the relationship? Do you expect the man to be the provider? What is it here? Because, you know, the reason I ask is the audience, first of all, loves this kind of conversation.
Of course.
And also because this question comes up a lot when it comes to what are the financial expectations in a relationship and how early on do you bring up that conversation? Obviously, it needs to be day as one. Early as possible, right? Yeah.
Before the day.
Before the day.
In the DM.
In the hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Tell us.
No, go. What's the question?
The question is this, is that for you personally, first of all, where do you sit on that thing of like when you're making your own money as a woman and you're in a relationship, is there like a... Do you believe in the traditional roles that a man needs to take financially? Or do you think this is evolving with time now?
It is so hard for a woman to be led and trust a man to lead her to a destination that she's going to be happy with if she's making more money than him. Because she's always... Even if it's nice and they love each other. And I'm not talking about a season. Because there are seasons where I'm going to make more money than you. And that's fine. I'm talking about you're still hustling more than me and you're still doing bigger moves than me where you're the breadwinner. It's always going to happen where a woman will emasculate a man subconsciously. And I've seen it in happy marriages, but she's still in front of people will emasculate him because the nature of a woman is we want to be led.
Mm-hmm.
We want to trust the man to do all these things. So I'm independent. And I don't think actually women are too independent. I think men are just used to powerless women. And they're seeing this new generation of women that are not waiting to be rescued. They're not waiting to be saved. Because we've seen where that have got our mothers.
Yep.
Our grandmothers, or even just other women that we've... Because we hear all these stories all the time. I hear them in my DMs all the time. And I'm reminded all the time, like, wow, waiting to be saved, we can't do it anymore. So we women started believing in themselves more than believing in a man will rescue them.
Mm.
And that's when we stopped, when we started becoming unshakable, unstoppable with standards and boundaries. And men are scared because men are raised to always get their value from a woman needing them. They're not used to leading without just holding you in a prison, making you dependent on them financially.
Yeah.
Because I want to depend on my man, but not only financially.
Right.
How are you going to leave the house? How are the kids being raised?
Mm.
We see women. I know more women with daddy issues than women with no daddy issues. Because fathers were so closed off emotionally. And women, we need that love from our father. So we're not begging another random dusty ass man on the street to give it to us. That is going to just manipulate the whole, you know.
Of course.
So yes, no matter how much money I make, I'm always going to be traditional. Our money can go for investment. Well, my money can go for investments, can go for me, maybe my children. But I'm expecting the man to always, and I want my man to be like, you're not spending your money, right? Now, if you have mutual investments and stuff, that's totally fine. But I was raised traditionally. And sure, we have... you know, challenge some norms, but the reality is a man should lead financially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, no matter what's the dynamic and how much money both parties are making.
You made such a good point because this conversation keeps coming up, especially in my DMs as well, where people are bringing up the fact that, oh, but I don't need him, but I'm choosing to have him in my life. I don't know why this is not a better situation for him. But it's because men have not been taught to view a relationship this way. Yeah. They would rather be needed by someone that they don't like as much rather than be with someone they like but who doesn't need them. And this is crazy. You phrased it in such a nice way of, you know, that there's this new wave of women coming up who are financially independent, who are taking up space, who are being themselves.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we are not looking for a partner. It doesn't mean that we don't want to prioritize our family.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we are being painted, just because that bridge has not been made yet between the traditional role and the current role that women are taking.
Just because we stopped waiting to be saved, we are now, it's like every successful woman that I have met, in the comments somewhere, there is a man like, this is why you're going to stay single for the rest of your life.
I get that all the time.
And it's like, well, if making my own money, having my own boundaries, having my own standards means that no man will accept that and accept a powerful woman to be by his side and actually help him when he needs, not financially, but actually
support
because
him.
Of her presence, because of her power and presence, then I think it's fine. I think it's fine because culture wants us, you know, they're putting age limit, you know, I'm 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was raised in a family where all my cousins got married at like 18, 19 because they live in Saudi and that's the culture.
Yeah.
So to them, I'm like,
you're very old now.
I'm very old. But then in the West, I'm very young. Who gets married at 26?
I was thinking, like, you're very young.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like, age, who cares? I would, and every single person that got married, their one regret is, I wish I waited and lived life. Because I was a different person when I was 19. Imagine if I married someone, I would probably hate them by today because I have changed so much.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I like. Mm-mm. I didn't know what I wanted from my partner. So thank God I'm not married. And I want to keep it like that. And I would rather be single and alone and happy and with an empty house than with a house that looks beautiful on the outside, has this perfect image, but I'm not happy because this is my life. I'm not living my life to make sure the picture is perfect for everyone else.
Mm.
I don't care what people view my life as. I care how do I feel about my life living in it every single day. So the empty house, I'll take it. But I know God wouldn't not bless someone that is doing all the right things, you know, want love, want a partnership. The time will come. I know God will bless me with the most amazing man ever. And he's going to bless all the beautiful women.
Mm, I agree. I think the age of getting married is just getting pushed. That's why everyone is panicking in their late 20s. Being like, oh no, we're not getting married. I just think all these women in their 30s is where they're going to start meeting their partner. And hopefully by then, the men have had a bit of a change of mind.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah, but what else do you want to talk about? I think we've covered everything. Is there any bits that you would want me to touch on?
You know, one thing that I take pride in is I'm connected to it. And I think a lot of women feel fall short when it comes to that part. I'm connected to everything, attached to nothing. I am fully connected. I'm always in the present moment. I'm fully emotionally available, no matter what happened in my past, what traumas, what I've been through. My heart is always open in any new friendship, relationship, business that I'm experiencing. It's not like, oh, I'm closing it off because I've experienced those things. So I'm connected to everything, but I'm attached to nothing. So my unattachment, I can unattach myself from anything because it costed me my peace, no matter how the outcome is going to unfold. If something is costing me my peace, I'm removing myself. Because to me, that is always more important than, oh my God, because us women were raised to nurture and
keep empathy going
and, you know, understand. And it's like, I'm understanding, but there's a limit to the understanding. Where if you push the understanding, then it's costing me my peace. And that's the number one important thing. Detachment is power. The art of detachment is power. knowing when you need to detach yourself and when you need to nurture, knowing that you can go through bad relationships, but you need to still have an open heart, a receiving mode, be emotionally available for your next relationship, because we should not punish the future person that we're going to be with because of all our past experiences that we've had.
Mm.
And that's where us women, sometimes we fall short. It's like, well, all men are like this. I've experienced this. Narcissist, gaslighter. So now all the future men are like that. And it's like, then we're sabotaging our own blessing in the future. And now you're torturing this amazing man that is in your life because of the past. Well, now you're becoming that person that hurt you in the past.
Yeah. Oh, you might not even see this person now because you've got blockers on.
Yeah.
So that's very good advice. And in terms of any parting message when it comes to making money for women?
Make a lot of money and don't feel guilty about making money. Feel empowered. Enjoy the process. Get around women that are making money because it's going to make the journey so much easier. It's going to make you believe that you can do it too.
Mm.
And God is abundant. There's no shortage of money on this earth. The men are having so much fun. We need to have fun as women as well with the money because it's a lot of fun.
Well, this conversation was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Afnan, for today.
Thank you so much.
And I'm really looking forward to see what you keep doing and how you keep making all of us rich.
Thank you so much for having me. And we'll touch base next year in another episode.
Done.